so we're changing things up a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and read from the three of the Gospels where it talks about the Lord's Supper. So if you'll join me, we're going to start in Matthew. It's in chapter 26, verses 17 through 30. And before we read, we'll go ahead and ask the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and for the guidance it gives us. We thank you for this reminder that we partake in where we remember what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, Lord. We pray that you'd open our hearts and minds that we would understand the scripture that we hear. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. So starting in verse 17. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, 'Truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me.' Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, 'Surely not I, Lord.' And he answered, 'He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born.' And Judas, who was betraying him, said, 'Surely it is not I, Rabbi.' Jesus said to him, 'You have said it yourself.' While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." And next we'll turn to the book of Mark in chapter 14. And I'll be reading verses 12 through 16. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he himself will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Prepare for us there." The disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Then we'll turn to Luke. We're going to read from chapter 22, verses 7 through 23. So this is Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 7. "Then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it.' They said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare it?' And he said to them, 'When you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you shall say to the owner of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large furnished upper room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to discuss among themselves which one of them it might be who was going to do this thing.
Good morning. A while back, I had done a little bit of a study on my own on the new covenant and what it means and some of that. And of course, those notes are sitting someplace at my home. And so for 45 minutes while Cynthia was sharing, I went and tried to use my iPhone or my phone to recreate what I had studied over the last, a few weeks ago. And so the Lord has given me a few passages and some things to share with you. But I think what's more important than what may be said here is the fact that this church has people that are the body. And part of that body is that we all have different functions, and then we're all willing to do whatever it takes to keep this church going. And this is on Tuesday night, the men that were in the Bible study studied that very same thing. We went through the 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is, about the gifts. And we studied those gifts, and we looked at them and how the body is fit. And we all know how, my finger works or my toe works, how my eyes work. And it says there that, how can you hear if everybody's an eye? Or how can anybody hear if everybody's a hand? And today is an example of that. Everybody in this congregation, the leadership, was willing to step up and do what it took to present something this morning in the midst of a crisis. Pastor Kent, this is the last thing he wanted to do. And he has shared with us many times from this very pulpit how great this church is, how the Lord has blessed it, and how he uses it. And this is another example. So my prayer is that the Lord will take the few words that I have to say regarding the new covenant and bless you with it. Look at the context. Look at what the new covenant is and how important it is. So we're going to turn to Hebrews. Chapter 8, and I know Pastor Ken has just started into Hebrews, and I think that's interesting that this idea of the new covenant that I researched a while back is highlighted kind of in the middle of the book of Hebrews. And we're going to turn to chapter 8. We're going to read the passage, and then I'll have a few comments about that. So let's go ahead and read, starting in chapter 7. Of Hebrews, or chapter 8, verse 7 of Hebrews. And this is actually, the bulk of this passage is actually a quote from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 34, I believe it is. It should be in your side notes there. Yeah, actually Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. So I'll read. "For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion for a second one. But finding fault with his people, he says, 'Look, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their ancestors on the day I took them by their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. I disregarded them, says the Lord, because they did not continue in my covenant. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After these days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And each person will not teach his fellow citizen and each of his brothers, saying, Know the Lord, because they will allow me, from the least to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their wrongdoing, and I will never again remember their sins. By saying a new covenant, he has declared that the first is old, and what is old and aging is about to disappear." Let's pray as we start. Father God, we thank you for the privilege we have to be here. We do lift up Pastor Kent. We thank you for his ministry here, his faithfulness to you, his ability to share Scripture and to make it applicable to our lives. And as we look at this passage and this concept of the new covenant, I pray that you would give me clarity and just that your words would come out of me, not my own, but yours, Father. Thank you for this time now. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. One of the things about a covenant is that it was originated between two people or two entities, and there was a sacrifice involved. And I didn't understand that until I started looking at that. And the idea of the sacrifice was that if either of the parties failed to keep that, their obligation to that covenant, whatever it be, then they would be, in turn, would suffer the same consequence of that covenant. So, in the Old Testament, God established a covenant with the people, and they did the blood sacrifice. But what they failed to do, what they didn't understand, was is that by them breaking that, they were to die. And so then we know that in Romans it says the wages of sin is death. And that's where that concept comes in. That's the idea of breaking the covenant, that's what was going to happen to you. So we see that picture all through the Old Testament. There's covenants, there's continuous sacrifices constantly going on. You know, it seemed like, you know, if you read kind of between the lines or you add up the hours it would take, it seems like all of life for the priest was nothing but one big bloodbath of offering sacrifices, you know, constant, of one form or the other, to meet the requirements of the Old Covenant. Moses wrote over 630 laws, I think, that governed everything from life to worship. Then those get reduced down until we get to the New Testament and that. But this whole idea of the covenant is very important, and it's communicated to us through the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, in all the passages that Andy read, including the one in 1 Corinthians that we'll look at as we do the Lord's Supper, it talks about Christ saying, remember this and do this in remembrance of me, and I establish a new covenant. And where that comes in is because of our sins, we broke that covenant that God had established with mankind. We signed on to it. Moses signed on to it. You can read their history in the Old Testament where they said, yeah, we'll do what you say, God. We'll do it all, you know. And yet they broke it. And then they broke it again. And then they broke it again. And finally, Christ says, I'm going to establish a new covenant. And so he comes in the New Testament. And that's where we start with this idea of a new covenant. So that's kind of the definition of it. We are the ones that broke it. Christ kept it. He lived a perfect and sinless life, and that's what made him the one that could be the fulfillment of that, and it allowed him to be that, establish the new covenant. Another part that we can look to there in Hebrews is chapter 9. Let's look at verses 11 through 14. And this talks about how he fulfilled that in biblically speaking, what he does for us now. Starting in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 9, it says, but the Messiah has appeared, high priest of the good things that have come, in the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. He entered the holy place once for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of young cow sprinkling those who are defiled, sanctifying for the purification of the flesh, how much more the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God and cleanses our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. And so we see here that in Hebrews it answers this question of what God Christ is doing as part of this new covenant. Some thoughts I had on what the new covenant did is that one of the first things it did is God is the one that authored it. Man didn't author it. We didn't come up with the idea that, okay, God, here, let's work out this plan so that we can be right before you. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. We were ignorant of the fact. We thought everything's cool, yet God says, no, it's not. And he couldn't have fellowship with us. And then another part of the new covenant is Christ was the sacrifice. He was the one willing to come forward on our behalf. And that ties into the idea that Christ was born and he became a man so that he could fulfill this idea of a new covenant. So he was that sacrifice. Some other concepts that come out of this, and there's going to be a whole lot more than what I'm going to touch on this morning, but one is a word that's been used from this pulpit many times. It's found in 1 John. It's the idea of propitiation, the removal of divine wrath. Christ is the one that fulfilled that as a result of that new covenant. The idea of grace. We see grace in the Old Testament, but it's more limited. When we get to the New Testament, it is unlimited. It is expanded. And all of us, we're not Jews. So if we were still under the old laws, we would have a whole lot more stuff to do to appease God by the rules that he established in the Old Testament. But when we get to the New Testament, those are broken down. And Jews and Greeks or Gentiles, which we are, most of us, I think, we are able to now come before God in that. We have another aspect of this new covenant is we have access to God directly. There's no more us going to a priest who then has to wait to a certain time of the year before he can go into the Holy of Holies. Each one of us, if we're a believer in Christ, can approach God directly and boldly in prayer and communication. Another aspect that was given to us is the gift of the Holy Spirit, that upon our salvation we are filled with the Holy Spirit. All of these things are all caught up in that phrase that Christ gave us, the new covenant. And we tend to gloss over that. I know I have for years and never really thought much about it. But it is significant to us on this side of the cross that we understand how much the new covenant is played into our lives as believers and how significant and important it is. One of the things that took place, as well as many other things that took place upon Christ's death on the cross, is the veil was torn in two. I tried briefly this morning to look up the significance of that, but this veil wasn't just a piece of cheesecloth. This was a significant curtain, if you will, that was, as some say, it was as tall as 30 feet high. It was up to 4 inches thick. It was hand-woven with mohair, a wool, if you will. It was, you just didn't tear this. It would have been physically impossible for any two people to tear it by themselves. It would have had to been started to be cut, and other people would have had to join in the process. Yet, when Christ died, that was torn, revealing the Holy of Holies, which nobody had ever seen, except the high priest once a year. And so these are all aspects, and these are all little bits and pieces, and of what the new covenant is. And there's certainly more to it. And I know that when Pastor Kent gets to this passage here in Hebrews, that he's going to expand upon it. And so it's something for us to look forward to as we think about it. We're going to, at this time, go ahead and do the Lord's Supper. I would ask that you take the next few minutes and prepare your hearts. It says in the book of Corinthians that those who don't participate with a clean heart are eating and drinking damnation unto themselves, if you read the King James. And so it's significant and it's important that we confess our sins and we make ourselves right with God. And so as we end this time now and we get ready to do the Lord's Supper, I'd ask that you would take time to do that for the next few minutes. We'd ask that you would guide our time now. We thank you for this privilege we have to celebrate this new covenant. In Christ's name, amen.